You think?
I think so. I mean, we're just talking about the scams that Hollywood plays on us, and one of them is the amazingly hot lipstick lesbians. You know? Like,
yeah.
Much love to the lesbian community. Loveline as a whole, big supporters of both the gay and lesbian community, but I don't often see the nines and tens.
Happy birthday,
around.
Ann.
Yeah!
Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you.
Producer Ann, it was her birthday yesterday. She turned 25.
And she wasn't around for us to celebrate with her.
I know. You didn't get Dr. Drew's gift.
Nor Mike's.
Oh, by the way, yeah, Tyler.
Good thing you had an extra day.
Tyler, did you hand it to Ann? My gift? You bastard. Tyler put it in the refrigerator for me, or the little cooling area. Because I went to a florist slash restaurant
here.
You
gotta keep sperm cold, right? Or else it dies off, right, Drew?
Well, no, when I give Ann jizz as a gift, I can just remake some more. Like, I don't need to save it.
He deposits himself, generally.
Yeah, I'm going to Spider-Man her before the end of the night.
Okay,
throw it right in my hand, Ann.
Awesome.
And then when you turn around the corner, blah! No, I actually made you a little bouquet of flowers. I made it myself. That's why it looks a little janky, because I did it, not a professional.
That's so sweet.
Hey, you know what? I try.
So your neighbors have had flowers?
No, how dare you? I live in the ghetto. There's no flowers. I would do that back in the day, though, when I was in high school in San Marino.
Do what?
Like drive to, before, we used to have morning runs in football, and it'd be like 5:30 in the morning, you know?
Yeah.
And then there'd be like a break, like an hour break before school would start at 8 a.m. So I'd just drive to like the nearest house by the high school, and I'd steal roses, and they're beautiful flowers, and they're like perfectly manicured gardens, and I'd go over to my girlfriend's house at the time, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, you know, I was just thinking of you. Which, that's one step below the cemetery, right? Like, I didn't do the full-on cemetery, because I know guys do that.
They go to the cemetery to rip off the flowers.
Wow.
Yeah, that's worse. That's worse.
That's bad.
Yeah, that's worse.
I just feel bad, because, like, at least at the cemetery, that's just someone's flowers that they bought and they
right.
brought there. Like, I was taking dudes' roses that they probably put so much effort into, you know?
Yeah, the cemetery's worse.
Yeah, but really, those dead people don't know the difference. As long as you have, in your heart, let's say, okay.
Cemetery's worse.
You go and visit a dead family member, and you put the flowers down. As long as you leave and they're still there, you're none the wiser. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I'm just saying I adhere to the philosophy that, you know, you behave in a certain way, whether people are there to observe it or not.
Right, the karmic debt.
In terms of what's in your heart, the cemetery ripping the flowers off,
hey,
worse.
Andrew W.K. just walked in.
Did he? Good,
yeah.
Excellent. There he is.
He's a good dude.
He is a good dude.
I have never met him like personally, so I'm very excited tonight.
He's a lot of fun.
And
was there somebody else too tonight? We were unclear.
Second hour is a band called Hey Monday.
Hey Monday.
Okay.
They are huge groundswell support for them on the internet.
By the way, we had the best pre-show ever yesterday, and I'm not sure
nobody heard it.
Out. Anderson, did it go out? Do we know?
Tyler said no one heard it. Is it available on the podcast though?
No.
Not necessarily. Oh,
so you can continue to say like it was the biggest fish that you ever saw.
I don't remember what we talked about.
I don't remember what we talked about.
What were we talking about?
I walked in. I said, Dr. Drew, I need you to be honest with me. Talk to me man to man.
Yeah.
Tell me that everybody does this. And I said, singing in the car.
Oh, yeah.
Where you just sing your heart out when no one's looking.
Yeah.
And it's always to songs
that
you would never, ever want anybody to watch you sing.
Right.
You know? I was singing a Coldplay, and also earlier today, I was singing, so I come to you with open arms. And if my friends saw me singing open arms, they would kill me. They would actually kill
me. Right.
And but, you know, when no one's looking, you sing it.
Mike,
like
you ever seen, Drew, I know the answer is no to you, but have you ever seen Hedwig and the Angry Inch?
I'm aware of its existence. I have not seen it.
Okay. It's one of the greatest films ever.
Uh-huh.
It involves a man who gets a sex change in order to come over to the United States.
Uh-huh.
The sex change goes wrong, therefore he has an angry inch. That's where the angry inch comes in. Great soundtrack. I got caught when I was in film school living in Long Beach turning right, and I was singing the song at the top of my lungs, and I could feel, you know, you could feel someone looking at you sometimes. I turned to the left a little bit. A buddy of mine in my class saw me doing it, arm out the sunroof, and I never lived it down. Like, everyone saw me a little differently from that point forward.
Nice.
But you forget that you're actually, that the windows are see-through, right?
Remember, I said Joe Cocker is what I was saying.
Yeah.
Nice.
No, Louis Armstrong.
No, I don't think.
But I got Drew to admit that he sings like Joe Cocker when he sings Joe Cocker.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so we were talking about how there's just certain things that everybody does, but you don't like to admit it. But we all do it when we're alone. And then I asked, now, we agree that everybody does this. Do you think Adam Carolla does this? And you said, no, no, he's different.
The singing. Oh, you know, no, he is different. And you'd agree with me on this. He would listen to Hall & Oates and then listen to John Hiatt and then go on a three-hour diatribe about good music versus horrible music. And if nobody was around to listen,
He'd do it anyway,
but he'd find somebody.
Yeah.
He would just go up to somebody on the street and start going.
Yeah, let me go through the contacts here on my iPhone. Yeah.
Get he wouldn't call anybody.
He'd put the Bluetooth in.
Oh, calling.
Call up Kimmel.
No, he wouldn't call anybody. If he calls people, he complains about his mom and his grandma. That's what he calls.
Well.
So what are you looking at today on the internet? Let's get that out of the way.
You want to get the internet ready?
Let's get it out of the way.
Well,
so
okay,
here's
something we could talk about. I was examining Poon on the internet before I came here.
What? You did what?
I was
shocked.
Scouring Poon.
Hey, Mike? Yeah.
I went to Bing. Bing is much better for images than any other search engine. In my videos and images, it really does a good job.
Marissa Miller images?
Okay, look, I'll go to Marissa Miller. But I was thinking to myself, Jesus Christ. Oh, man. She's good looking. I was thinking to myself, as I'm getting a little older... I'm not just looking at a girl who's gonna be hot right now. Like Kim Kardashian, I believe, is a beautiful girl. She's hot right this second. But I don't see Kim Kardashian being a girl that you wake up next to when she's 37 and is attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she really puts a lot of work into looking good.
Mm-hmm.
So then I started thinking about girls that I find beautiful in a truly classic sense and are wake up in the morning, they're beautiful, and they're going to be beautiful to the day they die. Like,
mm-hmm.
Sophia Loren or, you know, Helen Mirren or something. And I was like, I gotta bang Natalie Portman. That's it. That's Natalie Portman or, like, Olivia Wilde. Those are girls I see that are going to be...
Olivia Wilde. Would you look
Olivia
that up?
Wilde.
Natalie Portman, I don't think you're going to...
I don't think I'm going to bang her. I agree,
what?
But...
Natalie Portman?
Olivia Wilde. She's on House, yeah. But Dr. Drew doesn't watch House. I can't watch medical shows.
They drive me insane. They're so pathetic.
Let's see.
Although Lisa Edelstein is a friend of ours. And
I just saw her at Real Food Daily. Speaking of girls that are going to be hot for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel. Mm-hmm. I would wreck Dr. Cuddy. Lisa Edelstein, more than any time you want. You're welcome here on Love
Life. Blow one of those up. Let me see what you got.
That's like my favorite thing to do now is I decide that people are always welcome without checking with any of you guys. See, like, she's hot, man. She's going to be hot forever.
I think. Yeah.
Let me see here.
This is really interesting.
I know. This is riveting radio. Look, kids out there, go find pictures of Olivia Wilde and see if you agree with me or not.
What is she play on that show?
Lesbian doctor.
Oh,
getting,
is that right?
Getting back to our biggest fallacies in all of Hollywood.
There's another one.
There's that and the super hot chick who will bang anybody.
Yeah, so, yeah, you may be right with her. Here's Andrew.
She's a prince.
Hey, buddy.
Princess,
hey,
though, Dr. Drew.
See you.
Come on in.
Hey, man.
Hi.
Andrew WK walking in here.
Wow,
is that her right there?
Yes.
That's not going to go, that's going to be, I'm just saying.
What do you think, Mr. WK?
Wait.
What are you guys talking about?
We're talking about girls who are going to be beautiful forever. Like, some ladies, you know, yeah, they're gorgeous, and I got to give them credit, but they look like they're going to hit a wall very soon because they put so much effort into being beautiful. Kim Kardashian is a good example. Jessica Simpson, I think, is an example of a girl who's beautiful, no doubt, but it takes a team of people to get her all tarted up, and when she's 40, who knows what she's going to look
like.
You're
talking about natural beauty.
Natalie Portman, a girl who I think will be beautiful till she's 70.
Well, now, that's an interesting example because she is on the small side.
The person you said, you moron.
Well, you said that too, Dr. Drew?
Yeah. He likes the petite stuff.
Well, there's something about, like, Kristen Bell, for example. Beautiful young girl, right? Just beautiful.
Yeah.
Very appealing to look at in movies. Great, great face. Well-proportioned. But you wonder, when they get into the 60 or 70, 80 years old, that's going to be a very small lady.
Osteoporosis. I see it in her future.
Right, hey, how tall are you, first?
Nineteen seconds to go. Give me a 10, 9, 8, 7, 6.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Dr. Drew Pinsky,
a guy on a radio station named Psycho Mike.
Dr. Drew has his work cut out for him.
Loveline with Dr. Drew and Psycho Mike. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Oh, we're not stopping. We're just getting started.
Oh, my God.
That's
oh, my God.
Wait, what? No.
We're already in a huge argument. 1-800-LOVE. 191 is the number. Dr. Drew Pinsky's in the house. He's a board-certified physician and an addiction medicine specialist. That means he can take your problems and choke them right out.
Yeah.
Oh, that voice.
What?
I am Psycho Mike Hathaway, and the voice you hear right there is Mr. Andrew W.K.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be back here.
Dr. Drew,
I was trying to think, is this my sixth time?
At least. Last time you and I were in New York City.
Yeah, that's right. Right. Well,
maybe the last couple of times.
Well, the last two times for sure was just you and me.
Yeah.
I mean, you were alone on the show. This is fantastic. Now you have a sidekick.
No offense. I'm the sidekick.
You're the sidekick. It does kind of seem like that, actually.
Okay. Yeah, you, speaking in New York City, you are wearing a Santos Party House T-shirt.
Thank you, yes.
The name of the club that you own in New York City?
I'm a co-owner, yes. I'm one of the owners that opened this nightclub, music venue. It's a concert hall and dance club. I mean, 8,000 square feet, two floors,
whoa,
the best sound systems, the best dance floors. It's raging.
It?
It's right downtown.
Where?
It's on Lafayette Street, right below Canal. So we straddle Tribeca, famous for the film festival, of course, and straddle Chinatown, famous for being Chinatown. And, you're right by the subway. Anyone can get there. And Santos Party House opens just about 7 nights a week for concerts and dance parties.
Cool. Mr. WK.
Yes.
I admire you very much. I'm very excited to meet you. And I definitely want to delve into how you got to become Andrew WK and talk about your early life and all that kind of stuff. But first, we got to settle some stuff because we were pretty much having a heated argument within the first 2 minutes of meeting you.
During the music in the introduction, we were fighting. I don't know if you noticed
Dr. that. Dr. Drew's saying that guys who are not tall
tend to like
here we
tall
go.
Girls. Not necessarily exclusively, but they tend to
like tall girls.
Yeah, yeah.
I like a girl.
Oh, okay. What I heard in the bumper music, through the bumper music, was guys who are not tall tend to not like tall girls.
No, opposite.
They don't like it.
I mean, I'm not as short as everybody likes to make me out to be. It doesn't help that I'm surrounded all my life by Kevin and Bean in the morning and then you guys who are all, 6 foot plus and
big men,
big giants. But I'm 5 foot ten.
5'10" is average height, by the way.
Very average.
Yeah,
exactly.
Not short.
And I tend to fancy the ladies that are 6 foot plus.
Yes. And I've had friends that are shorter than you that seem obsessed with that.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that seems to be some sort of law of nature.
Well, when you get on the extreme short scale for a guy, if you're the 5'4" guy, then it becomes almost like a psychosis, right?
I wonder if nature just puts that into us to kind of,
to help balance it out.
Yeah, who knows?
Every guy I know that's 5'5" and below punches people within the first 10 seconds of meeting.
Yes,
fiery maniac.
Very driven characters, these shorter people. They have a lot to go for in life. There's a great quote. I'm not going to name names, but there's a famous man in the music business who's been extremely successful, as successful as he could be. I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars in terms of business and worked with just about every major artist or act that you could work with. And yet he still woke up in the morning and he was under 5 feet tall.
Yeah.
And so no matter how thick his wallet got, I mean, if he stood on his wallet, he's a tall guy.
He's tall, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. WK,
yes.
Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you for having me back.
I think that most people came to know you when your album I Get Wet came out in around 2001-ish.
Yes, exactly, first album.
And,
oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you.
Were you a guy who always dreamt of being a musician? Or because of you're kind of a Renaissance man, you strike me as a guy who just stumbled upon it, realized you were good at it, and came into it. But were you a guy who at age 4 said, I'm going to be a rock star and this is what I'm going to do?
No, not exactly. But
he was going to university music school at that point, playing classical piano.
Yeah, Dr. Drew's got it. We've covered this before.
At age 4. Literally age 4.
Well, for our listeners that are not aware of the early life of Mr. Andrew W.K.,
yes.
Can you please...
Sure, I started with piano lessons, and when you take piano lessons, or I guess any kind of musical training at that young of an age, it's similar to learning how to read. In that, I don't know that many people learn how to read and think, okay, I'm going to be a professional reader, or I'm going to be an English professor, or I'm going to be someone who works in letters. You just think that I know how to read, and I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. And that's how I thought about music. This is something I'm going to do every day, whether it's for money or as a career.
Were you always that way, or did you go through some humps where you thought, I want to stop taking piano lessons?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. Every day.
Yeah.
But there was something deeper driving me. That's when you start to think about things like destiny. And when you are able to be exposed to perhaps what you were born to do at an early age, things can get pretty sewn up pretty quick, and you find yourself on a path that you stay on the rest of your life.
Very cool. You are clearly a very well-spoken guy. Very.
I try. I'm really working on it. I had a lot of I had a coaching session today. We go over basic vocabulary. We go over grammar. We also go over just tone of voice. That's the biggest trick for me. But thank you. I'm glad it's paying off.
You are. You're an intellectual guy. You're also, like I said, very eloquent. And you got into motivational speaking, I guess.
Yes, in a roundabout way. I think it was through doing interviews, really. I'm not sure if a lot of musicians experience this or not, but I met a lot of people, still do, that say, well, I'm not that into your music, but I read this interview you did, or I've only heard a couple of your songs, but I saw this thing you did on TV where you were talking to this guy. Somehow I saw that people were picking up on a language vibe or a spoken vibe that wasn't necessarily part of the music or it was attached to it. But I just wanted to be able to use whatever means I could to get out there and create a good feeling, and talking turned out to be a way I could do that. So NYU invited me to do a lecture in 2005, and I figured it would be talking about the music business, maybe do a classroom of 50 people, sort of a small, very focused group. Instead, it was in their main auditorium, 900 people, 4 hours later.
Wow.
Did my first lecture. Yeah, it was crazy. But that started the ball, and since then I've done Yale, I've done Carnegie Mellon, I've done the Cooper Union School, and just keep going. The last one I did was an all-women's university.
Which one?
Collins University in Roanoke, Virginia.
Did you speak in the Cooper Union room where Lincoln gave his famous address?
I don't know. I mean, it was in the main building, that old storied building on St. Mark Place.
Did you go to St. Mark Place? Downstairs-y?
You know, it's a bit of a blur at this point. It was an old room. It was a lecture hall. It sat around 300 people. It. Wow, I didn't know that.
I'm going to just interject real quick.
Yeah, moving on.
To keep most of our audience here.
Cooper Union address.
Giant boobs boner. Giant boobs boner. Okay, go ahead, gentlemen. Go ahead. Now talk your smart stuff.
Okay. Yeah, you got to keep it balanced. Right?
Well, I'm thinking of our listeners.
Better get another round. Go.
You know, you really got to step your game up as far as you know. The intellectual content when you're dealing with colleges of that nature. I mean, you're not talking to.
Can they really be that intellectual if they're inviting me to talk in the first place? That's the question.
Well, no, see, I think so, but I'm thinking from your standpoint, it's got to be a lot more intimidating to go to Yale and speak than it would be to walk down to the Friars Club.
The thing about those audiences is their attentional mechanisms are so great, they hang on every word. They stay with you no matter what you say, right?
They don't want to seem like the guy who doesn't understand what's not understand.
No, they pay attention. I've been to XYZ, university, state, whatever, and people are like, whoa.
Well, here's the thing. If you're figuring out how, as a young person, to navigate your way through Yale, you're accustomed to being in lectures and paying attention.
Yeah,
no, that's
awesome.
A good point.
I gave a talk at Princeton one. The greatest thing ever. No matter what I said, they were like listening like it was God's gift.
They make you sound cool. Yeah. That's true. They make you sound smart.
Let me tell you something. As a guy who went to a giant state school in New Jersey, I went to Rutgers, and a lot of smart people there, but also a lot of, you know, major Cougines.
That was a big school.
You know,
big school.
Party animals.
Yeah.
You take a real quick trip down to Princeton, New Jersey. Those kids party harder than anybody I've ever met.
Every
Ivy League school,
yep.
And it's not even like a reasonable party.
No, no, no.
It's not like, oh, let's get drunk and make out.
No, nope.
Like wacky kilos of blow and nasty drugs and insane stuff. And you get this impression of them being, you know, the kids in the monogram blazer with the ascot and everything's going to be stuff. And you're like, I'm going to show them a thing or two. You get down there and they're all depraved maniacs.
No, the eating clubs at Princeton.
That's we played a show there.
They play rock concerts and show porn all day.
That's what we did.
They show porn in the eating
clubs. What else do you need?
And that builds an appetite. That's a great thing. They go so well together. Lukewarm eggs. I mean, we played very early in the morning. I think it was like 12 noon or something. They had served breakfast, and then we played on a lawn in Princeton.
Fan effing tastic.
I figure it's because they're so advanced that they're able to venture down those what some consider less advanced roads.
I think he's right. I think
Devin,
right. You're so advanced that they need to do that stuff to stay stimulated.
Let's get to our
callers. We were talking about rock and roll music. Devin has a question about being in a band for Mr. Andrew WK.
Oh.
What is up? Devin.
Devin?
Now you go.
Devin, you sleep already? Devin?
Yeah.
So what happens when you talk about Yale?
What's up, man?
My girlfriend, we're going out about a year ago. and she left me for the singer in my band.
What do you play?
I play guitar.
Okay.
And they're going out for about 6 months, and then she texted me, and she said that she left him, and then a week later, she said that she wanted to get back with me.
All right, and you're wondering what you should do?
Yeah.
Let me chime in first. At age 16... A girl who's doing this to people seems like bad news.
It's more
bad news than it's worth.
Drama.
You're 16 and you've already got a lot of stuff on your mind as is, and the last thing you need is a girl who's that confused and wacky.
Agreed.
I would say, yeah, some people are looking to create more content in their life, want to make fill it up like it's a movie, like an episode of Entourage or something.
Wow, that's an interesting statement.
If you want to be with a girl like that, you're in for a wild ride, nonstop thrills and chills. And otherwise, I would say there's no reason to waste a bunch of emotional energy when you can just be having a nice time with someone. So, yeah, steer clear, take a warning from it. And in the future, look out for girls who want to complicate things.
Done and done.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's good. All right, easy one.
Thanks.
All right, how about another easy one? Derek, you've got an overly aggressive girlfriend in the vagina department.
Wait, what?
What? Derek, go ahead.
Wait, is this... Hello?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Okay, hold on. I didn't know... Okay, the radio was different.
Okay. It is right, complicated.
So, Derek, turn the radio
here,
off.
Everybody.
Yes. Everybody. Sadie.
Don't listen to the radio. Listen to us on the telephone when you call a radio show. Okay,
well,
go ahead.
Yeah, it's so confusing.
Is it true we're going to talk to Lamar Odom tonight?
Wait,
we might.
Who?
Lamar Odom might come in even, I was here.
Really?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Derek.
So, like, when I'm having sex with my girlfriend, she, like, cuts my wiener off. You know what I mean? I mean, it feels like she's going to, like, cut. Like, I seriously think there's claws down there, and I want to...
Wait. You know they invented a new condom. You see this?
What?
Lonnie Love, I think, tweeted this to me. It's a condom that you wear internally, and it has spikes in it that if a guy tries to come get in you or rape you as a woman, the spikes dig in and cannot be removed.
Female condom.
Female condom has to be removed by a surgeon.
I don't trust that. It could go haywire.
I saw that, Drew.
It's vagina dentata.
It's vagina dentata.
It absolutely
is. Is that with the teeth?
That's teeth. Movie teeth, yeah. Movie.
How long before a pissed off ex-girlfriend who found out you cheated on her is going to put one of those things in and say, come on, honey, I can't.
It's already happened.
I'm sure, right?
Yeah.
That's Derek, a one-night fling.
Derek, how old's your girlfriend?
She's 18.
Yeah.
Wow.
I would imagine she probably has a lot of partners.
During orgasm, some women can have a terrific muscular contraction. Usually, again, the more multiply orgasmic types will have repeated, you know, tightening. And that's all right. That's a good thing.
How tight, though, to feel like he's describing?
Well, like, remember how I said it's still like claws down there? She may be trying to actually cut it off. But, I mean, she may have one of those condoms. I don't know.
Yes, she's trying desperately to cut your penis off, Derek.
Go to break. I mean, I've had enough of Derek.
Jesus Christ.
I've had enough. Thank you, Derek.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Please, we've got a very smart and eloquent man in the studio tonight. It's Andrew W.K. The last thing we need is you bumbling idiots calling in and going, but what, huh? Wait, oh, the radio's there. Oh, no, it's me? Oh, my girlfriend's trying to cut my penis off. I swear. It's got a claw. You know what show you're listening to. It's Love Line.
More Love Line on the way. 1-800-LOVE-191. One call, that's all.
LOVE-191. The term Renaissance man is very appropriate for our guest tonight on Loveline. He is Andrew W.K. He is the star of a cartoon. He's a motivational speaker. He is a rock star extraordinaire.
Dr. Drew.
Indeed. This Renaissance man, I mean, I never understood this idea. I like to think of myself as a Renaissance man because I like Renaissance clothing, Renaissance-era clothing.
Right.
More of a blousey sleeve.
You are dressed like Catherine de' Medici.
Yeah, but, you don't have to tell people that. This is sort of something private. I wear these clothes.
He goes to the Renaissance fairs.
Exactly. No, that's exactly. That's where you get those clothes. But the idea of Renaissance and doing a lot of different stuff, I don't really feel like I do a lot of different stuff. It's all within entertainment. It's all in the entertainment industry. It's not like I'm working on a biology project and then doing forest conservation or...
No, but...
In the arts, you know, I'm working in that field.
But most you have a knowledge base.
Most
broad,
people,
broad
right. If they do try to venture out, people, especially in the entertainment industry, Dr. Drew excluded, of course.
Of course. Well, he's a Renaissance man
as
well.
He's a Renaissance man. He's excellent. But most people who venture out into other things that besides their main career path in the arts usually suck at it, you know. So, whereas you are very good at everything. So you, I'm
doing my best.
Like I said, I think it's appropriate to call you Renaissance man.
Well, I take it as a huge compliment. Thank you. I feel like I'm just starting, and I've got a lot more to do.
Anderson's right.
Thanks, Mike.
I don't want to wash your balls up too good.
Yeah. Okay.
John.
Yeah.
Say hello to Mr. WK.
What's up, WK? How you doing tonight?
I'm well, John. How are you?
I'm all right. Long time listener, first time caller.
That's cool.
And John, just wanted to throw this compliment out there. Mike.
Yes.
You're the best thing that's happened to the show, better than Adam Carolla.
Oh,
wow.
That's
well,
huge. That's massive.
That's true, but I'll certainly accept that compliment. Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
And he was great. I've been listening for about 10 years. But anyway.
Yeah.
I'll lay my question out there for you.
All right, here we go.
I'm 27.
Uh-huh.
Engaged. Going to be married August 21st.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you. When I was 21, I was in a relationship with a 39-year-old woman. It was like a 2-year relationship. Well, it wasn't a relationship. It was more of an affair.
Hmm.
She was a married woman.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. So, best, she taught me everything in bed. She treated my man junk like it was the gateway to heaven.
All right.
Is there a question in here?
Yeah, there's a question coming. So she did anything and everything for me, and I ever since then,
you're having a hard time finding stimulation from anybody else.
It's kind of ruined. Yeah. Nothing else compares.
Mm.
Yeah, and even with my fiance, who I love to death, and who I've never disclosed this information to.
Of course not.
No, good for you.
Oof.
But how do you get past something like that?
Well, John, I will say,
this is fascinating, actually.
Look, I mean, I understand where you're coming from. I mean, if a girl really rocks her world, it can...
Yeah, but
he
sort of thinks it's because she was a more knowledgeable older woman. It may have just been her and him.
That's true.
That they just fit together, and that's a scary thing if he's not got that going with his fiance. You know what I mean?
You know, I never had any really other connection with her besides the sexual connection.
No, I'm just saying, though.
I think I kept my emotional side out of it because I knew it couldn't
be. No, that's neither here nor there. But what Dr. Drew's saying is if you don't have that same sexual chemistry with your fiance, that is something to probably be concerned.
That's a concern.
Now,
it's not that she was older. It was just her.
Mm. Were you notably unsatisfied with the other aspects of the affair with her? Were you, for example, you could have a great physical relationship with someone, but then you cannot stand spending time with them in any other way. And, of course, that would be very hard to justify or think about that person as a person you could have a relationship with. Was there anything like that, or did you enjoy her company?
No, pretty much it was, I just dealt with her for the sexual advantages.
Well, here's the thing, John. Are you at all disappointed with your wife or your future wife sexually? You know what I'm saying? Like, she may not be what this woman was, but is she bad? I mean, do you not enjoy sex with her?
See, I wouldn't say she's bad, but the 39-year-old, that relationship, that was my second partner, and I've had a total of 7 now, so not that many, but none of them have compared.
I understand that, but what my point is that I think that when you have a baseline amount of sexual chemistry with a girl, then you can start to really focus in on the more important stuff, which, like, you know, how well you get along, how much respect you have for her, things like that. And if you have those things on top of a good, you know, kind of base in the bedroom, then you're okay. Now, if you are grossly unsatisfied in the bedroom, then you have a real problem. That you can't outdo that with a great personality. You know what I'm saying? You can work as hard as you want with your wife or your future wife with the relationship aspect. But if it's bad, bad, bad in the bedroom, you should just end things right now because you'll never be able to change things like that.
I was kind of thinking I might just hold out till she got older and maybe.
John, let go of this. No, John, stop it with this business about her being 37 as the reason that she was the way she was. That was just her. She was that way at 20, probably.
And Dr. Drew's exactly right. You know why, dude? Because most girls who really rock guys' worlds are effing nuts. And
it's true.
And you know, it's true. And they're out
was.
Of their. Yeah,
she
exactly. She was cheating
boss.
On. She was cheating on her husband with a 21-year-old kid.
Yeah,
she was probably a little bit mentally off, and that probably what led to her being so awesome in the bedroom.
But
so,
guys, what do you do there? I mean, what do you do? That's a catch 22. If you can't have your cake and eat it too, what are you supposed to do?
No, we're not saying it's impossible for somebody who's not crazy to be good.
Okay, well, yeah, of course.
We're saying that in this case, there's evidence to suggest that's what's going on, and that is a common thing.
Now, why is that? Because these women are trying to compensate for a pain and drowning
yeah.
it out
yeah.
with the sex?
Maybe, yeah,
right,
something like that.
So dude, just count your blessings,
good
John.
Job.
I mean, you're never
cool.
going to meet a girl like this sexually, so just be happy.
Or
with
he may, her. But she may be yeah. 20 or she may be 50.
And
it's
she's
going to
be probably
yeah.
effing nuts.
Hey, either way.
Don't let that set my standard, basically.
Right, right.
And hold on to those memories.
Yeah, keep the... Look, John,
like,
John,
saying,
John.
Hey, I had this one partner at this one time and...
No, bring it up. This is what you do. You keep that 39-year-old muchacha mala in your spank bank, and you use that when you can, and then you treat your wife, your future wife, like a queen, okay?
There you go. Well done. Well
problem
done.
Solved.
All right, done.
These are easy.
Matt, in Kansas City.
Yeah, what's up?
What's up, dude? You're on Loveline with Andrew W.K.
And Dr. Drew
yeah,
and Mike.
No, like Andrew W.K. Like, first, before I ask my question, can I say Andrew W.K. when it's time to be, I'm going to party hard? And then, like, I got to ask you a question real quick, too. Like, with your album, I Get Wet, like, is it true that with the blood, like, running down your face, that you actually, like, broke your nose with a brick and then the blood wasn't enough, so you actually used, like, goat's blood or something? Because a friend of mine was telling me that.
One of the most recognizable album covers of all time right there, I Get Wet, with Andrew, kind of a first-person perspective picture with his face all covered in blood.
So what happened?
Yeah, Matt, thank you for asking about that, and thanks for your kindness. It's a long story. I've broken my nose 3 times, but it was not for that album cover. It was on stage each time. Most recent time was in London, England, and there was always a lot of blood. But when it comes to that cover, actually, almost because so many people have asked about it by now, that I was advised and have followed the advice to not talk about it, to not explain what happened, primarily because I'm involved with children's television now, and it's just not good to encourage people to harm themselves for a photo, no matter what.
And by the way, Andrew created the show with the greatest title of all time.
With Destroy, Build, Destroy.
Yep.
Thank you, Dr. Drew. You're so kind. But thank you for liking the photo. I mean, I just wanted to have a photo that would catch people's eye and figured most people could relate to a bloody nose, maybe not one that
yeah.
severe. But as far as how it was made, that's just between me and my nose.
Okay.
There you
now,
go.
What's your love question, brother?
It's kind of embarrassing, but I just figured, like, I'd call in and ask, but I kind of have this thing, like, you know, with whatever sexual encounters I've had, like, whether I was in a relationship or even if it was just, like a one-night stand, I kind of have this aversion, or your producer or your call screener said, like, she asked me, like, was it a phobia? I don't even really know if it's a phobia. It's just, like, I'm kind of hesitant to really go down on chicks or scuba diving, if that's what you want to call it.
Okay.
Why?
Because, like, let's say with the one-night stand example, you know, I don't necessarily know where they've been or what these, you know.
Yeah, but you put,
like,
you,
yeah, but you put your dong
you put
in
your
there.
Penis there? You put your mouth there?
Yeah, but it's not even just that. It's not even like with the dong thing, like I was saying. It's not even so much that. It's just, it seems like weird to me because, like, I don't know. Like, that's why I'm saying, like, I know it's kind of.
See, this is what I was hoping. For something like this, I was hoping Lamar Odom would come around and talk about it.
No,
you know how
he's not smart enough to deal with this poor gentleman. You need to understand something, Matt. That is almost as essential as you getting your pleasure.
That is as essential for most women.
You know what I'm saying?
If you don't do that, they ain't going to be happy with
so,
you.
So I understand, like, you might be a little bit hesitant because it's your mouth and it's like seems like a more intimate kind of deal. But you're not going to have that many one-night stands if word gets out that you're not doing that.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, I hear you.
And by the way, you're... You get stuff on the dong just as readily. As
yeah, let's be real here.
That's true, right? Yeah.
Genital,
yeah,
I mean,
condom
true.
Or not.
I hear you.
Sexually transmitted diseases. you generally think about genital to genital transmission, though you can indeed get genital to oral transmission.
And by the way, Matt, where did this come from? Because I know, I mean, I'm a big fan of going down there. I'm a big fan of the fish taco.
Did you have a bad, I mean, this, it could have been a bad early experience. It was the
that
first time.
With an abalone or something?
Abalone. The first time you tried it, do you remember that? Was that a traumatic experience?
No, I don't even think it was
you know
that.
What? This is one of those things where some guys are squeamish, and these guys, you know what they tend to be?
Black guys.
There's that, but also guys that are like into like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. People
Wait,
that haven't developed any
Yeah,
kind
no,
of,
it's true. Like, like, look,
yeah,
cartoons.
Yeah,
no, peanut
no it's just like no, the taste. Of,
there's
you know,
some dudes. That,
they're still in the yummy phase of, taste.
There's some dudes
underdeveloped talent.
Yeah.
That
okay.
will go to Chinatown with their. With their manner and speaking buddies, and they'll eat the stuff that they don't need explanation. They'll just be like, hey, it's in front of me.
Yeah, I'm in.
Let's give it a shot.
Yeah.
And you only live once.
And the other guys,
and there's
eat
the other guys
white
are
rice.
Like, no way.
Yeah.
Are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
It's not, like Dr. Drew said, peanut butter and jelly sandwich that my mom makes with the crust cut off.
Right.
I have some advice, and maybe this might be the advice for so many of these situations. Try watching movies in which this is being performed, when cunnilingus is being performed, and especially if it's an actress.
Yeah. But,
wait, what?
But because the way they do it in those films, though.
I mean, no, this is actually the one sex act I think is pretty accurately portrayed in films.
Well, here's the thing. Andrew's right, because, look, if those girls can be eaten and everybody's safe, then you know even the most, just heinous hag, the most just putrid succubus of a woman that you can find around Kansas City is going to be fine.
That's a good point.
With the succubus statement, let's take a break.
Yeah.
Here we
you
go.
Know it. 1-800-LOVE-191. Give us a call. Andrew W.K. is in the studio. That means there's three men here who are ready to help you out. You know what show you're listening to, punk ass. It's Be Love Line.
MikeLovelineShow.com. You know what's happening?
Giving away tickets at the Ticket Blowout.
The Ticket Blowout thanks to Live Nation.
That's right. All the best summer tours go right now. LovelineShow.com.
Stay tuned for more Loveline with Dr. Drew and Psycho Mike.
You call a psycho.
Join us, Dr. Drew. He hosts Loveline.
LOVE-191. Our guest tonight, Andrew W.K., about to embark on his first nationwide tour with his full band in close to 4 years. It's the band's Warped Tour, which starts June 25th. Go to andrewwk.com for more information. Let's see. Poor Tiara, is that your name in Phoenix?
Tiara?
Poor Tiara?
Oh, my God. Andrew, last night in Phoenix, the call
Phoenix blown up.
Out of control.
Wait, there's something going on in Phoenix?
We don't know, but the callers were... There was something going on with the callers,
hey,
for sure.
Hey, young lady in Phoenix.
It's hot there.
Hello?
The phone lines have melted.
Hello?
Oh, there
yes.
she is.
My phone. Yeah.
All right, what's happening?
Okay, good. It wasn't us. What's up?
I just want to say that I've been listening to your show for 3 years, Dr. Drew, and I love it. Right. And we can't wait to see you at work, Andrew W.K.
Thank you very much. I'm so excited to come there.
So, basically, I'm 16 years old, and I am dating a guy who will be 21 on the 27th.
Mm. Ouch.
So, we are not sexually active, and my parents love him to death. Basically, I'm just calling because it's, I know it's not socially acceptable.
Hang on. Slow down. The social acceptability has absolutely nothing to do with why... Certainly, I object to these relationships. And by the way, this guy may be good, and this may be an okay situation, but you've got to understand why people object to it. When you're 21, I want you to look around at your 21-year-old male friends and imagine them dating a sophomore in high school.
Mm, that's true.
And you'll vomit right there on the spot.
That puts it in a perspective.
You'll want to punch them all in the face. Okay?
Well, see, I'm actually... going to be graduating in December.
No, I get it. You sound very mature, and this may be an exception to the rule.
Maybe he has a baby face.
Yeah, and I just want to point out, though, it's not about social acceptability. It's about protecting you from the kind of guy, typically, that would date a 16-year-old. He's a douchebag. Now,
yeah.
Your guy may not be a douchebag. You may be more mature. This may be an exception. It kind of does strike me as one of the exceptions. I rarely say that for this situation. But it's
well,
really,
just the fact that you came out and said that you're not sexually active.
Well, yeah, the fact that
you make you feel a little better.
Well, no, here's the thing. Parents like him.
Yeah.
The parents usually will kind of have good instincts about these things. A, he's not beating you up about not having sex, which is already kind of weird, right? 20-year-old dude. No, 21-year-old dude.
Yeah, so wait a minute, though. That is weird.
But there's something going on there that's different than usual, right? And it may be weird, it may be something, but anyway. And maybe he's gay, I don't know. And then she obviously is more mature and graduating high school and sort of hanging around with the older people. So we add up the score, I'm like, all right. But still, probably not the greatest thing for you.
But it is in the realm of possibly okay.
Yeah, right.
So okay. Why are you calling in because you feel like it maybe not be okay?
Well, no, it's not that I feel that it's not okay, but it's just he's actually in a band, and I'm going to his 21st birthday show on Sunday. So I know he's just getting a lot of garbage for, you're dating a 16-year-old,
Well, see, that's what we were trying to tell you. It's that maybe everything's fine and on the up and up. There's just something up. And obviously his 21-year-old buddies, they're all coming down on him because there's something weird about a guy who's in that frame of mind of being 21 who's willing to go date a sophomore in high school. I mean, the whole thing is like, it blows my mind.
And to not be having sex is a very intense reality.
That's also a kind of peculiar thing for a 20-year-old male. But yes. A good thing. Great. In your case, excellent.
Yeah, because
when
it works out here.
I was 21, I banged a jar of peanut butter and a wall.
And it was great.
A wall?
Yeah.
Hang on. Whoa. I heard about the melon.
Whoa.
The peanut butter, that seems like you... The wall
and a couch.
Didn't the
couch seems like you
wall? Drywall?
You poked it through the drywall. Yeah.
So hey,
but wait a minute.
I'm gonna get rid of this young lady
and let her
know. Look, if everything's working out with him, it's all good. Be comfortable with him, but just keep your eyes and ears open.
Yes, be aware.
He is at a different stage in his life.
There
okay?
you go. All right.
Okay.
Good luck.
All right. We were getting kicked out of our place in San Francisco.
You and your little band.
No,
me
and three other dudes who are all living in a studio apartment.
And
with a one room studio apartment that I described. I told you was so nasty that when people would come over of any importance, say a parent or girlfriend or something.
When I think of what you did to your parents.
I know. We would clean the floor, and I mean this, with a rake.
Nice.
Wow.
So many cigarette butts and beer cans and
all
whatnot.
All glass. Well done.
And so this place was just a hellhole.
Yeah, so
and,
just to finish it off.
And my roommate made ecstasy and acid. That's what he did for a living.
In the tub.
And so we just all ate acid all day.
Oh,
and,
nice.
Yes.
He manufactured LSD.
He was a smart guy. He was from Eureka. He was a botany major. This guy was good.
So you're moving out.
So we're getting kicked out.
Okay.
We're just sickos.
Were you spluing on the floor like you normally do all over the place?
I didn't beat off that much there because we all lived in one room. It was one room.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And there's four dudes. So I would beat off in the closet.
Right. I figured.
But you coat the floor. That's some move that you have. Where you?
No, he usually.
Well, in
tell
my,
them what you do.
My last apartment in
South. No, now what do you do?
Right now?
Oh, with the dog.
Well, now
Wait, what?
My dog Coco, the terrier, is a jizz fiend. So she'll just stand underneath me like she's shagging fly balls. And no matter what I do, she follows me around. She knows what I'm going to beat off. And then
smell it.
As soon as that's what Drew said. As soon as I arrive, she jumps.
Your wife just threw up.
Yeah,
vomited right here in the studio.
I never imagined it was getting to that point. I mean, the sex with the wall. So basically, you're moving out, and you said, you know what?
I'm going to finish
F this
off.
Place.
Yeah. Yes.
F this place.
After I soccer ball threw a bowling ball, like a throw-in in soccer, I did that through the wall, which went into the literally went through the wall into the neighbor's place. They were
my God.
I did like that. After they threw the couch that I had sex with and finished in out the window.
Oh.
So it was a big place. I mean, had a window that size.
It was okay.
Oh my God!
Slums of San Francisco, and then we were Bruce Lee punching holes in the wall where he does that 1-inch punch.
Yeah.
And we were trying to and then finally we just cracked the wall, and I pushed it in with my finger like a hole. It looked like a probably a 1-inch.
And you announced you're high in acid.
Everybody's like, oh yeah, now you can bang the wall.
And you did.
And so I pulled out my penis and I banged the wall
with them there.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, oh my good. God, we have to finish on that note.
Witnesses.
Literally.
I think I put Carnauba wax in the hole to...
You arrived.
Woo! 1-800-LOVE-191. Wow. Andrew W.K. is in the studio
tonight.
I'm so
glad you're in recovery now, Mike, because I would not... I just... Whatever.
Oh, no, I thought I was weird. I mean, this is...
No, Mike's impressive.
Advanced.
Andrew W.K.
Advanced addiction.
Is the voice you hear. He is in the studio tonight. Dr. Drew's here. I am Psycho Mike Catherwood. You know what you're listening to. It's Love Line. No service fee. That's right. You heard me correctly. No service fee for June tickets at LiveNation.com. Your favorite summer concerts. Buy tickets now with no service fee. Go to LiveNation.com.
Joining us here in Los Angeles, Dr. Drew Pinsky, the host.
This may shock you.
Love Line with Dr. Drew and Psycho Mike.
Don't you think that's a little psycho?
Drumming going on here on Love Line. 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Psycho Mike Catherwood, drumming my ass off. Dr. Drupinski sitting there motionless. Our guest, Andrew W.K., drumming like a madman.
Cool eardrums always gets your blood pumping.
Nothing
bad. That's some fast kick drums. What is that?
I think this is a Venge Simple.
Oh, man, yeah, they're good. They actually... I saw them for the first time on Warped Tour in 2003. And they were playing some small stage, not even a proper stage, sort of kind of in the middle of the whole venue was sort of centered around them in a way, though, that gave them this very prime spot that when they played, that's all you could hear. And I remember the drummer, I just was completely, it was a sign that, okay, people are taking things to a new level that I hadn't really experienced when I was in growing up or first playing drums. It was a very, very, very mind-expanding. You can hear that work right there. Those are fast kick drums.
Oh, no, it's a super talented band all the way around. And
absolutely.
They worked real hard. It was like when we had the Dirty Heads in here. You appreciate seeing bands like that who really earn their stripes by doing it the right way. And
Rudy liked them, too. Rudy went out and sang with them.
That's true. Avenged Sevenfold, before they made it big, were playing the dingiest clubs around Orange County, doing it the right way, and they made their way, you know, they earned their keep around the music industry, so it's good to see.
Absolutely.
Another guy who has earned his keep in the music industry, Andrew W.K., in the studio tonight. Let's go to Tony. Tony, what's up?
Hey.
What's up there, Tony?
How you guys doing? Hey, Andrew W.K.
Hello, Tony. How are you?
I'm all right. I've been listening for a long time. Love you, Dr. Drew. You know, Anderson's awesome, too.
All right, Tony.
Anderson is awesome.
Mike is awesome.
Thanks, dude. What's up?
So, I feel like I just, like, made a huge mistake today.
What happened?
I went to a prostitute.
Oh!
Wow. Ooh. First time ever.
And Mike's been out there searching for one. Well, you've been searching
for this. How dare you? How dare you? I would never, ever, ever go to a prostitute.
Wait a minute. You told last night, I believe, you told a story about searching for a
rub and tug. There's a big difference.
That's not prostitution.
No, special massage.
All right.
I'm not asking
you gotta educate me. I'm not cooling up on these hard ideas.
If someone is massaging my body for $45, and then for a couple extra bucks, I say, you know, I could be really relaxed, and she massages another part of my body. That's totally different than a girl getting naked and having sex.
It's a fine line. How do you draw these lines, right?
Well, Mike's just drawing them for me. So forgive me for being so old-fashioned.
Tony, first things first, did he wear protection?
Yeah.
Okay. Why did you feel the need to do this?
I don't know.
You're really horny and you
Mike,
couldn't...
you're the guy looking for the rub and tug.
How old are you?
How old is this guy?
How old are you, Tony?
20. Yeah.
Okay, why do you feel bad about it? How about that?
I just feel like I did something, like, vile, like, completely wrong.
Did you think that going into it?
Yeah.
Was it a bad experience?
Not really, not, like, wasn't...
All right, dude.
I mean...
Here's the deal. If it wasn't that bad of an experience, chalk it up to a really weird life experience.
Yeah. A low moment for you. You have to do it again.
It is pretty bad. Don't do this again. I mean, buying prostitutes is not a good thing to do, but you got a way, Scott, for your war protection.
Yeah, I've sort of arrived at a point in my life where I think you do certain things, God, this is going to sound ridiculous, but there are things that we sort of don't look kindly upon in our society that I really don't think are good for your psyche or for your soul. They take a toll on you if you do that.
So maybe that's what he's feeling right now.
That is what he's feeling.
Right.
It's okay that you did that. You're not a bad person, but you paid a price for it.
That's why it has a reputation like this in culture.
Yeah,
And prostitution, the idea of it, Tony, is not that bad. In fact, I think it should be legalized. That's just my personal opinion.
Sure.
But you're here in Los Angeles, and with the way the laws are right now, what you have to do and what you have to resort to having sex with, getting a prostitute with the laws the way they are in 2010, is not a good idea.
Mm. It's illegal.
I can only imagine what you had sex with.
It's dark.
That, and then also the fact that he needed to go there, he couldn't support himself in some sort of genuine way by having a person that he cared about and somebody who was...
Well, that's a good question. Did you build up to this point? Was this sort of the last straw for some kind of urge that you had that couldn't be satisfied otherwise?
I guess...
You can't meet a girl, you can't satisfy yourself with your own hand?
Yeah, I guess, I don't know.
Had you been fantasizing about it for a long time?
No, not really about a prostitute, but just like in general, yeah, I guess.
About having sex with somebody.
Was this your first sexual experience?
Yeah.
Oh.
All right. How much did it cost? What did he get?
There you go.
It was just $100.
$100, and you probably took about 4 minutes. Yeah. How did you pull this off in Los Angeles? I mean, did you just drive down a street corner? Did you go to a service in the back of one of them newspapers you get for free on Hollywood Boulevard? How'd you pull it off?
I've always wondered about that.
Just like a Craigslist ad.
Craigslist.
I've heard about that.
How ugly was this girl?
She wasn't that ugly.
She wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that ugly.
All right, look, Tony, you put a notch in your belt. You were smart enough to wear protection.
Yeah, you got through it.
You don't feel that bad about it. Just don't do this anymore.
Go out and relate to humans on a human level. Okay, don't exploit them.
Well,
okay?
She's a human, but
yeah, but he's exploiting her, not relating on a human.
Okay,
level.
I understand. Okay?
Hey, Anthony.
Done that before.
Hey,
what's up, bud?
So I got this question because I've got this worry, right?
It's been on hold for 80 minutes. This
wow.
Guy.
Go Thank ahead. You for your patience.
Anderson.
My friend and I, we were having sex today, right? Uh-huh. And when I ejaculate in her, I guess she's like, it burns.
Oh.
And that's true every time she does this?
Your penis is a velociraptor.
But
how long are you
now
guys,
and then.
How long are you guys having sex before you ejaculate?
Today it was like...
Oh,
Anthony, with those F-long 80 minutes,
you know,
drop
we had been so, we had been great the whole show. Even I avoided it. I said F instead of that word, and we were just fine. So please.
But I can understand, like, if you said my girlfriend and I were effing.
Yes.
Like, I mean, that would make no sense. Like, it was out of the blue.
it sounded as though he was going to blurt out some long or short period
the show
of time.
Was wasted up. I mean, you wasted the word.
Yeah. Like,
no, but there was something extraordinary about the
No, interval. that was Anthony thinking. When he thinks that word.
Yeah.
That's his
arm.
That's his placeholder.
Let's get him back.
That's Anthony?
How long, Anthony? How long?
We were going for like 45 minutes.
All right.
Today.
Well, that's too long for her.
Not vicious.
All right. That's too. You're actually damaging her. You're causing too much irritation.
Okay.
So there's three common possibilities. One is you're just doing it too long, too rough, not good for her. You go longer than 10 minutes for most women, it's going to be problematic. You're going to give urine infections. You're going to cause irritation, swelling, problems. Number two could be some sort of vaginitis, some sort of either bacterial or yeast infection causes inflammation of the wall of the vagina. And number three is something people need to think about. If they're on a birth control pill, so many of the pills today have these strong, powerful progesterones and limited estrogen, and they get a relative estrogen deficiency called atrophic vaginitis, and they won't get better until they take an estrogen cream of some type or change their pill. Being allergic to my boyfriend's semen is what most people conclude. Does not happen, or rarely happens, while these other conditions happen commonly.
All right, dude.
All right, Anthony.
Thank
take
you
care.
Guys.
Bye-bye.
Oh, goodness.
That was a long Dr. Feelgood right there.
Thank you. Hold on. Andrew WK in the studio right now. John, what's up? You're in Phoenix.
Hello?
More Phoenix.
Here
again.
We go. By
Here
the time
go.
I get to Phoenix, people will be crazy.
Spit it out, John.
All right. When I was like 14 or 15, I would like watch my sister when she was taking a shower, like take a mirror and like put it under the door.
Oh boy.
How'd she look?
I don't know. Like when I think about it now, like it's kind of nasty. But
yeah, it's nasty. The sister.
Do you still do voyeuristic things?
No, but I'm just really like pretty like perverted and like everything.
Like what?
You have the perfect pervert voice.
Yeah.
Hey, will you say, is she a great big fat person?
What?
Is she a great big fat person?
Why?
It's pretty close, right, Mike?
To what? Yeah.
Silence of the Lambs.
It
always sounds like you have a smile.
Yeah,
it's a very friendly voice.
Yes. So,
what are there any perversions specifically that you think would relate to this instance that you're describing?
I don't know about to this, but like, there's a couple. Like, one is I'm kind of into that like whole like bathroom thing. When
there you go,
Raymond. You mean like a glory hole kind of thing?
What would be the better word? Scat.
Poo-poo or pee-pee.
He likes watching girls
poo-poo
do their
pee.
Business.
It's a scatological perversion.
That was almost worth it for that guy's voice and the delivery.
All right. He's perverted. Yes, some stuff going on. Yes, that voyeurism already. Perhaps something going on when he was a kid. Might want to look into it. Sash.net, SASH.net website. Check it out. There's referrals there for things like this.
Sash.
SASH.net.
Okay, what does that stand for?
Society for the Advancement of Sexual Health. We have to say
hold on one second.
I have to go away now.
Let's thank Andrew W.
Yes, I know.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you so much.
He was going to rush me off.
No. I was going to announce that he has to go, so we need to say farewell to him.
Thank you,
Dave.
Hey, Monday's coming up in the second hour. Andrew W.K. on the Warped Tour. First time with his full band in close to 4 years. Everybody needs to check him out. Go to VansWarpedTour.com or Andrew W.K.
Or check out the club in New York.
Yeah, Sandoz Party House. Come on down and party with me.
Sandoz Party House, everybody. Andrew, thank you so much.
We're going to get Mike out to New York soon. He can come visit.
Mike, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break
Dr. Drew said. Wait, what did I just say? Here's the deal, guys. This is kind of weird because it's all technical in S, but the guy that cussed, to use the S word, I had to push the dump button, so that means we can't do our little 30-second break until we catch back up.
I'm sorry.
The thing is building. It's all technical and boring, but the thing's building right now, and whenever you talk in particular, Mike, it doesn't build at all.
Because you have to be more quiet.
It looks for pauses. Shh, so this is where
let's be quiet.
We need a quiet time. All right, it's halfway there. Why don't we talk to Andrew a little bit more?
Andrew, Anderson, I apologize real quick.
I know you're not supposed to talk about it, Andrew, but what kind of animal was it really that you smeared blood on your fist?
Well, the whole situation, it goes back to more religious issues. Again, this is why it's not been advised for me to talk about it because of
it was
children.
It was a chupacabra.
It was not a chupacabra, but I wish it had been. No, to be honest, I went to a butcher, and if you go to a butcher, as you may have seen, you can get all kinds of things besides just
kosher
blood.
This was kosher.
You can get pig's blood, you can get a pig's head, you can get a pig's feet, pretty much any part of the body of an animal.
Especially out here in L.A.
Andrew W.K., this is Gene Simmons. Gene Simmons from KISS.
Here he is.
It's
Where is he? Is he in the other room?
Right here.
Holy smokes.
I just walked right in. I know that I'm a very handsome and powerful man, but I would like you to look at me because you mentioned the butcher, Dr. Drew.
Yes.
And
Is your family from butchering?
No. I've often been called the butcher.
You've been called the butcher. Why?
Because I deliver the beef.
I see. Any advice for Andrew in his career?
Andrew, don't ever do anything you do well for free.
Okay. Right? Gee, that's good advice.
I want to see by the end of the year, okay, the business year 2010, the Andrew W.K. golf clubs, the Andrew W.K. socks, the Andrew W.K. action figures.
And you know, Gene Simmons is not his real name. Andrew W.K., also an acronym.
That's true.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, Gene, I'm a huge, I cannot admire anyone more than
Gene's real name?
For so many Herschels, right?
No. My real name is Jochen.
Well, Gene, yeah, you're just as good as it gets, and the fact that you're addressing me at all right now, speaking to me, it just makes my day, really.
Well, thank you very much for joining Loveline. I appreciate meeting you, and like I said, we'll talk off the air.
Take a quick break.
About how we're going to merchandise you.
Teach me, Gene.
Station identification.
That's the one with
We're back. 1-800-LOVE-191. Cassidy, Jersey, from the band Hey Monday.
Hi.
Hey. You guys, put your hands together for Andrew W.K. He's leaving us.
Yes.
You guys, You guys, I'm sure we'll be seeing him out on the road.
Yes.
The reason you are joining us is because of Warped Tour as well, am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Is this your first big summer concert festival type deal?
Yeah, we've been going to Warped Tour since we were little. So
Something's wrong with that mic.
Oh.
Hold on. There we go. Try it again.
No, that's not working.
No. She's like, ah.
Come on.
There we go.
Oh, hey. Because
that's the mic we were hearing you on.
Hey.
There we go.
Can you hear me? Well, I can't see you now, but it's okay. Yeah, we've been going to Warped Tour for a few years, and we're going to be on the whole thing, so that's exciting.
Right? Tell us a little bit about the band, about the background, how you guys got started.
I was in another band with my guitar player, Mike, and that band broke up, and Columbia Records was interested in that band. So they were like, just put a band together, you know, we see the potential, we want to work with you guys. So we called friends and got together, and Jersey we knew through the label, actually, because he used to intern at Columbia, and he flew down to Florida and started practicing, and it, like, came together really well. We made a record, went on tour, and been going for, like, 2 years.
Jersey, you're a guy who has musical talent and was interning at a record label?
Yeah.
Genius.
Yeah.
That's like Puff Daddy, dude.
It works,
That's how he started. I'm serious, man.
It works, right?
He's very similar to Puff Daddy, actually.
Very similar.
Yeah.
If we walked in, that's what I thought. First thing I thought.
Yeah,
me too.
I think that's the nicest thing that's ever been said about me.
Now, Warped Tour in particular has a reputation for being kind of like rock and roll summer camp, and it's kind of a boys' club. It can get a little bit nasty out there.
Totally.
Do you guys, you know, Cassie, you're an attractive young
lady.
You must
have had a bunch of brothers.
Thank you. No, I have a sister, actually, an older sister.
What happened?
I don't know, honestly. I grew up like a tomboy, and I've always gotten along with guys a little better than girls. But on Warped Tour, there are going to be a lot of girls. Maybe not in bands, but there are a ton of girls that sell merch and you know, working on the tour.
Plenty of girls there, but they are grossly outnumbered by a lot of horny dudes.
True.
Horny rock band dudes.
Absolutely.
And my thing is that Jersey, are you and the rest of the guys in the band at all kind of protective of your attractive young lead singer?
Well, see, we were on our way here tonight, and I tweeted that we were on our way here, and I said I hope everyone had a bunch of silly questions for us, but I also mentioned that if anyone said anything offensive to Cassidy, I would slap them.
There you go.
Look at that.
So,
the
bitch slaps.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
I'm not a big guy, so the bitch slaps are important.
Yeah, but
get the job done.
Either way, it is an interesting kind of weird scenario to have. You know, because most rock bands they're dudes, and you go on tour with other dudes, and then you all kind of confer together about going out and finding ladies.
Right.
You know, and that's like the thing is that there's a camaraderie there backstage where you're like, hey, Every Time I Die, did you see the girl in the third row of our set? How about you when you're playing? I'll go bring her backstage. You know, but it's like if you have the female attractive lead singer, it kind of throws a wrench in the system.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I feel bad because, like, there was, like, a common, like, general consensus that no band, can I say the S word?
No.
Oh, band girls that just want to get with my band.
What S word were you thinking of?
SL.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no band sluts on the bus because it's our home and I just don't want to see that.
And you took the next question out of my mouth. I was going to say, is there any special rules because there's a girl around?
Yeah, and I feel bad because I feel like I'm a damper maybe at times, but at the same time, I feel like in the long run, I'm doing you guys a favor.
Yeah, you totally
I'm saving you guys a lot of doctor appointments.
No big deal. And the porta-potties at Warped Tour are extra large. You're fine, Jersey.
They're probably actually, the porta-potties are probably worse than the girls that would be on the bus.
Yeah,
for our health, anyway.
I beat off in the porta-potty at Warped Tour at Pomona Fairgrounds.
Mike, it's easier to talk about places you haven't beat off.
I know, but there's a lot of attractive women there, and I just couldn't help it.
I know.
And it
was either, I'm just grateful you didn't F the wall like you did.
It was either going to porta potty at Pomona Fairgrounds during Warped Tour and have my way with myself or commit homicide. It was one of the two.
Yeah, I was gonna say, usually, you can find someone?
No. You have
serious.
Clearly
your standards are higher than that.
No, I just am a social retard.
He's good on the radio. Great on radio, bad in person.
1-800-LOVE-191. Jersey and Cassidy from the band Hey Monday in the studio right now. Oh, Eric? Eric. In Reno.
From True Blood?
Eric, it's a fake name, so you have to really remember that you gave the name Eric.
Yeah, it's got to be a fake call, too, just judging by what's out on there.
Uh-oh.
All right, we'll put him on hold.
What a faker.
Monet?
Hi.
Hi.
Or Monette? Which is it?
Monette.
What's happening?
Well, basically, me and my boyfriend, we've been together for about a year now, and we finally decided to have sex, and now he's avoiding me, and I don't know how to approach him. Like, and when we do talk, it's, like, really awkward.
Yeah, and how old is he?
He's 17.
And, okay, how, okay, you've been dating a year. How were things relationship-wise before you had sex?
It was pretty good. It was going good.
Pretty good, or were you guys inseparable best friends type of deal?
In love.
We were in love.
I don't know. And how long before you had sex again? I didn't quite get that.
1 year.
Yeah, it was
a year. Boy.
That's a pretty, that's a good amount of time, too.
I for whatever reason, it sounds like it wasn't... I mean, it wasn't like he was just waiting around for a couple of weeks and then finished and went on.
Right. It's maybe like he's embarrassed or something.
Something wasn't right.
Monette, was it his first partner?
I'm not sure.
You don't know that? You're with the guy for a year?
And you're 17? At age 17, I would think that'd be like number one
question.
Topic,
yeah.
You know, conversation.
Well, how old is the guy? The guy's 17 also?
Yeah.
Did you ask him what like what's going on? Why aren't we talking? Did you ask him that?
Yeah, but he just kind of like I'll ask him what's wrong, and he's just kind of like, oh, nothing's wrong. And
what's he doing? What's he not doing? What's happened?
He's just like sometimes I'll call, and he's just like he won't call back, or like it's just really awkward in the room.
All right, there's something wrong with the relationship. We can't crack Monette, Mike. We can't get through to her.
Yeah, look.
There's something wrong. I don't know what it is. Only he can tell us. We don't know. We can speculate all day.
If he's not talking, just get rid of him.
Well, I don't know if she feels that she can really do that, but there's something wrong, and he owes you an explanation.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
All right.
It could be. It may not be a bad thing. I will say that the only time I've ever had an intimate relationship with a girl that was my friend before that, it totally screwed things up. You know why? Because I had actual friend-type feelings for her. And then I couldn't look at her the same way after that happened. And things got totally messed up. So maybe he just really liked you as a person, and that's giving him a mind F. You know?
Oh, maybe.
All right. Well, good luck with that, Monette.
Bye.
Thank you.
All right.
HeyMondayMusic.com is the official website. Cassidy and Jersey from the band Hey Monday in the studios right now. Drea, what's up?
Well, I've been dating my boyfriend for, like, a year now, and then a girl I liked for a really long time asked me out.
Yeah.
And so I said almost yes, and I talked to my boyfriend about it, and he said to date her and date him at the same time.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, boy. You know where he's going with that.
Of course he did.
Yeah, of course he did, right?
He's 17 as well?
He's 18.
Yeah.
Of course he did.
Yeah. So how do you feel about it, more importantly?
Well, it's just weird, because they wouldn't see each other. They don't even want to know about each other. Oh. It would just maybe dating both of them.
Yeah, well, that's not healthy for you, but I thought for sure he was trying to play the threesome card, but...
Right.
Who knows what's going on
here? We've already done that.
Oh!
He wants more of that at the deal.
Yeah.
And then he wants out of this relationship.
Yeah.
This is the way he's going to ease himself on out. Yeah, chaos, my dear. This sounds like a mess. Yeah,
don't allow that.
I agree.
Yeah,
I don't think you should continue with either relationship.
Right, right.
I mean, it just sounds like it. Like Dr. Drew said, it's a mess.
What kind of chaos do you come from in your life?
Well, it just.
I mean, you've created terrible chaos here, so obviously you come from chaos. What kind of chaos do you come from?
I don't know what you mean.
Your family of origin. What was that like?
Oh, it was average. Nothing out of the unusual.
See, it must have been pretty chaotic. Where is your father, for instance?
He's in jail.
Okay. That's unusual!
Oh.
That's
Drea,
unusual!
Drea, come on.
Sorry.
If you... Drea, come on. You just got through saying... All right, come on, honey. I'm going to try to...
Phoenix.
I'm going to crack this nut. You just got through saying to Dr. Drew, well, my family life
average.
Is
completely average.
Pretty normal.
Like what everybody has.
White picket fence, nuclear family, the whole deal. And then you followed up with my father's in jail.
Okay, that's a little unusual.
Can you see that that's not average or usual?
It's pretty normal, though. I have a stepdad.
No, there's nothing normal about it.
There's
it's normal for you.
At all
there's nothing
normal
about
the band, about your dad.
This should be good. What's he in jail for?
I don't know. I can't remember for the life of me.
Okay, interesting. How old were you when he took off?
I was like 2.
Okay, so you were exposed to all that horrible chaos for those years, those critical years when your brain was deeply plasticized,
right.
was injured by this dad, who have you now forsaken. God knows he might have been put in jail for sexually abusing you, beating your mom, who knows. And now you're recreating chaos in your life, which is what people do when they've been through that kind of thing. You need to look into this, my dear. There's nothing normal, average, or in any way okay about
all
this.
I'm sure your stepdad's Cliff Huxtable, too.
Yeah.
Oh, Drea.
Thank you for that reference, though. At least I knew what that was.
I know. I
sorry.
The Cosby Show was popular well before both members of Hey Monday and Studio were born.
That's right.
He's a punter.
Come on, he knows. He knows.
Hi.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. The band, Hey Monday, in the studio right now. At least Cassidy and Jersey from that band. We got a question for the band when we get back, plus a girl who's just not into foreplay. We'll see how that affects her relationship when we get back on Loveline.
Loveline.
You heard his voice. He's a host, Dr. Drew. Come on out here, Dr. Drew
Kinski. With Dr. Drew and Psycho Mike.
It's psychotic.
Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Psycho Mike Cather with Dr. Drew Pinsky in the house. The band Hey Monday has joined us. Cassidy and Jersey from that band. Beneath It All is a new album available for pre-order on their website, heymondaymusic.com. It'll be available everywhere August 17th. Thanks again for joining us, lady and gentleman.
Thanks for having us.
We have a question for the band. Mike, what's
check,
up?
Check.
Hey, how's it going?
Sounds better. What's up, dude?
Hey, I have a question for Jersey, for the guys in the band. What's the craziest sexual encounter you've had with, like, a band slut? Like, in, like, an alleyway or, like, what?
Dude, that's
alleyway.
That's gross. I've never been a part of that. I make sweet, passionate love for the ladies.
Like, guys in the band.
Who is this? Really? What's your name?
Allegedly Mike.
Allegedly Mike in Florida.
Mike.
I don't take part in things like that, honestly. Alleyways mean bad things, and
I was just asking in general, like, what's like the craziest story that's happened with, like, a band slut?
I mean,
he understood the question. He actually speaks English.
I answered that question. I don't deal with band sluts, to be honest.
We're moving on. Mike is not taking no for an answer.
No, but like.
All right, Mike. So just use your imagination. Oh,
I've
fantastic.
Had a lot, just so you know.
You've had a lot of good times with band slots?
Oh, Cassidy and alleyways. I mean,
yeah, I don't know why you directed that question to the guy.
Yeah, seriously.
A lot.
I can see every day happening, Cassidy.
You guys are on stage looking at your watch like, when is she going to be done? Oh, with those gaggles.
Maybe she can help Mitch out.
Yeah, Mitch.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, dude?
No, hey, big fan of the show. Jersey, I actually got to meet you once after your show. You're a really cool dude.
Oh, thanks.
Like you a lot. Cassidy, I haven't met you, but you're really talented. Really pretty,
thank you.
Too. So.
Thank
big
you.
Big fan of the band. Anyway, on with the awkward stuff. All right, so.
Wait. That's the awkward stuff? You being a gentleman telling our guests that they're talented and pretty?
No,
I like you already.
On with the awkward stuff.
You are a good person already.
Fantastic.
Well, you haven't heard his question yet.
I'll judge you from here on out.
My question. I hooked up with this girl probably 3 or 4 months ago, and I made her squirt.
Good job.
Yeah, so it was pretty crazy. Like, it kind of blew my mind. But I was like, okay, so the other day she texted me, and she's like, hey, when are we going to hang out again? So, like, I'm pretty sure she wants some again, and I want to make sure I know how to do it again. That way I don't, like, disappoint her, you know?
Just doing, what did you do differently, or did you?
Be as good as you were the first time.
Well, I don't know. Like, that night, I think it might have just been a good night or something, you know?
Oh, give yourself some more credit.
No,
maybe
like,
you guys are kind of good together. You know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe there's something, you know.
I don't know. I was just wondering if there's like any technique to it.
People claim that, but the reality is that there's just some people that do this and some people don't. And she's the one that can really tell you what it is for her. And were you intoxicated or something where you can't remember what you did?
Maybe a little bit.
Right. Dude, it might have been just that. It's probably just that young lady. And you're going to have to meet another young lady who's genetically
gifted. Well, he's going to this one. He just wants to make sure that he doesn't miss out again on the second round.
Nah, dude, listen, Mitch. When it comes to the squirting, it's just girls do it or they don't. You know, it's probably not very, it's probably very little related to you.
I've asked questions, and trust me, it supposedly takes a certain type of lady.
You know?
Oh, really? So is it like the girl gets really turned on or something, or is it just...
No,
like,
you can go ahead and think that way, but yeah. It's just what she does.
No, I mean, I'm sure you're not failing. That's not what I'm saying at all. It's just some girls do it, some girls don't, and it's, you know what I'm saying, like... Some guys are uncircumcised, some guys aren't. It's just one of those things. It's all about how your body's built. Dude.
I think WebMD has a really good article on this.
Do they really?
No. I mean...
Because I've never seen a good article.
No, I wouldn't know that. I would never know that.
Okay, fair enough.
I believe scatfun.com has a good article on it. Check that out. Or bluewaffle.com.
Zach, 19, what's up?
Hey, Dr. Drew, how are you?
We're good. You're on Monday. What's going on?
I've got a above average penis size.
Yeah.
All right.
Nice.
And I was just wondering, because it seems to hurt a lot of girls, you know, I was just wondering if there's anything I could do to alleviate that pain for them.
Tell them to suck it up.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. That's rude.
Come
Don't
on.
Do that. Don't do that.
The reality is, unfortunately, there's nothing for this problem per se. And for some people, it's a deal breaker. It's a problem. It can be very unpleasant for some women. I know, Mike, this is hard for you to take.
No, it's because I'm so jealous of Zach.
I know. You're
because
like,
I've never
can,
had
can't you
problem.
Make it work? Can't you please? No, and here's the deal. Some women actually like this, and there's a few that really seek this, but some find it unpleasant, and there's not a lot you can do if it's just not fitting.
Just be respectful and don't go full throttle.
Yeah, let them be in control of the action, as it were.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's actually got me laid less than having got me laid more.
Well, Zach, I mean, look, vaginas are like penises in that they come in all different shapes and sizes. So hopefully somewhere along the line you'll find a lady that's, you know, better equipped for you.
Yeah.
All right, my man.
Stay away from Asian girls.
Oh, no.
I love them,
he loves them.
I know.
That's
who doesn't?
That's good.
But I like them.
Hey Monday, the band will be on Warped Tour. Make sure to go to HeyMondayMusic.com. That is the official website. On June 30th, they will have an entire episode of MTV Silent Library dedicated just to them. Christy, you are in Washington. What's up?
Hey, I just had a quick question. I can get off vaginally, but... Or I can't get off vaginally, but I can get off anally.
Yeah! Duke it up.
That's an uncommon thing, but some women are sort of wired up that way. So there you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
That's
All
you.
Right, thanks.
Cool.
Good times.
Nice to meet you.
let's see. Laura Lee?
Lorelei.
Okay, I apologize. Ooh, what's up?
Okay. So I'm kind of having an issue because I cannot stand foreplay in any way. Like, I don't like oral. I don't like getting it, giving it, or any kind of foreplay. And my boyfriend's totally into it, and we've been together for several months now, about 6 months, and I kind of am scared that it's going to have a really negative effect on our relationship.
Wait, have you told him you're not into it? Have you told him? You've told him that?
Yeah.
And what is the reason you're not into it?
It's from, like, getting it, it's kind of like, it's uncomfortable, and I just kind of want to get to the point. It's going to end up in sex anyway, so why am I wasting my time kind of thing?
And are you, now, are you orgasmic with intercourse?
No.
That's kind of peculiar.
Well, I had never had an orgasm before I was with him, and now it's like every time. We have great sex, but with oral or any kind of foreplay, I just, it's uncomfortable, and I dislike it.
Okay.
And then when it comes to giving him oral or any kind of foreplay like that, like, he's well endowed, and I have bad gag reflexes, to be honest, and it's not, like, I can't do it. And I tried at one point, and then I didn't get it to finishing, and then that just frustrated him. And I'm just, you know, I don't know what kind of effect this is going to have on us, if it's going to be negative, because I don't know how important it is for him to get it, because it's not important to me at all, you know?
Has he complained?
Well, he kind of... like he'll ask to give me oral and
Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, the biggest issue is likely to be the fact that she doesn't do this to him.
Yeah. Not necessarily though.
I'm not into it.
Yeah, see? I mean, it's, you know,
personally.
But I was going to say, I just, if a guy's into giving and really, like, pleasing a girl that way, and she doesn't like that, that can bug a dude.
Yeah, but she's able to have an orgasm. He likes to do that. We don't know, Laura. The point is, it depends on the guy. And, you know, there's different guys have different opinions about this. Some guys would consider this all a blessing because they're just into the sex part.
And by the way, there are many men out there not like Jersey who will freak the F out if you don't give them head, you know?
Right. But Michael and his people call this a mitzvah. And you know, we don't know. We'd have to talk to him. And you should talk to him about this. It may or may not be a deal breaker.
Jokes about it, like, oh, well, maybe you should give me head sometimes, and he'll laugh about it, but he does it all the time, which makes me think that it's actually really important to him.
He is a male.
About it, and he plays it off like it's nothing, but then he jokes about it all the time as if it does matter.
It might. We can't answer it, Laura. Only he can. He'll tell you. Ask him. All right?
All right.
All right. And, you know,
we had some magic information.
Yeah, you just
got
to talk to him about it, and don't be confrontational, but you got to talk to him about it, okay?
I'll try.
All righty. Hey, Chad, what's up?
Chad. A couple years ago when I was 20 years old, I had a kind of chaotic relationship with a girl that her and I did a lot of crazy stuff together. And I was taking Ambien at the time for sleeping issues. And she wanted me to have her take a couple of Ambien and have her completely passed out and have sex with her while she was passed out.
Why did she want that?
Terrible idea already.
Well, yeah.
Why did she want that, did she say? By the way, this is a Phoenix call.
Yeah, of course.
Well, let's take a break first. Before we get on with this call, Chad, we got to take a quick break. So hold on. We're going to finish the call in a minute.
Chad, just hang right there. I just need to know real quick. How many times did you have sex with her lifeless body?
Once.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Lamar Odom's in here. Here he is. Listen, Lamar just came in. Hey, Lamar. How are you? Have you ever had sex with Chloe asleep when she's unconscious?
With her Snickers and Twizzlers.
She was eating a Twizzler? And you were eating a Twizzler?
No, I was having with her, but the Skittles.
Oh, okay. But would you have sex with her when she was asleep?
Like there was no big Kit Kat whipped cream on it.
Oh, you did that to her?
Yeah, but it was mostly with the chocolate cover.
Lamar, Chloe's into
that. Candy cane.
Chloe's into that stuff?
Chocolate cover candy cane. I see. I'd lick my lips with it.
Oh, really? That's fascinating. Very interesting. Lamar, I appreciate you sharing this stuff with us. People Magazine doesn't get this good of story.
I'm a big fan of you, Dr.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Lamar. I like Twizzlers, too.
I do. Butterfingers.
Butterfingers are good. Snickers, I
think. Butterfingers before the game seven.
Oh, nice. And that would work for you. Worked pretty good. By the way, congratulations on the championship. Well done.
We'll be right back.
We're taking a break with here with Hey Monday. Be right back with Lamar. I think you got to move. Well, maybe you'll stick around. We'll
see. I'm going to go grab me an apple zap.
Okay. We'll be right back.
On Love Live.
No service fee. June tickets at LiveNation.com. Your favorite summer concerts. Buy tickets now with no service fees.
1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline. Don't wait. Call today.
Love, I want your love. We're dancing to Gaga. Oh, man. Something about Gaga, Drew, always gets not only myself, but the guests dancing.
Yeah.
You don't seem to be, you know.
No, I'm not much for dancing.
Not much of a dancer.
No,
you're
cool.
Bobbing your head a little.
Little.
Drew's a singer, too.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Mm. Show me.
Can we hear?
Left is control of
love. Control of love. Okay, out of the next break.
Later.
1-800-LOVE-191. Those beautiful voices you hear are Jersey and Cassidy from the band Hey Monday. Thank you guys for joining us again. HeyMondayMusic.com is the official website. They're in here to promote the fact that they're going to be joining the 16th Warped Tour. Go to Vans Warped Tour.
Oh, that's me. Oh.
Oh.
Anderson's pulling out old stuff.
What did you think it was?
What?
Available on iTunes.
Listen to these R rolls.
No, it was something I did on television a long time ago.
What did you think it was, though?
It does sound like Trollolo. It sounded like Trollolo.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
This is when he was on Turn Ben Stein On.
Yes.
And Ben Stein had a full erection.
He did.
Ben Stein.
Was Dura Bear?
He could do that.
Dura Bear was not there. She was living with him at the time, as a matter of fact.
This is my full erection.
Jersey pulling out the...
Thank you. Thank you.
Right.
No, Ben Stein thought it was the greatest thing I ever heard. He really did. He declared that I was a professional singer.
That's amazing. As a guy, I mean,
it was
I'm
a trick.
Sure Cassidy knows
it's not
a
like
lot
I
better.
Sang an entire
Cassidy
opera. I sang a couple lines
than, listen
aria.
To me. Cassidy knows a lot better than I do. But I have had some training in voice, and I'm a guy who aspires to do some singing and stuff. And, that's pretty dark, gosh, darn impressive.
Yeah. All right, thanks.
That's impressive.
Chad, we were talking to you right before we went to break, and you had sex with your girlfriend's lifeless body.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Now, was she taking Ambien regularly before this, or did she decide this was the night she was going to do it so that you could specifically have sex with her while she was passed out?
Right. She specifically wanted that night for it to happen. I was taking Ambien for sleep problems, and she always saw how it made me kind of zombie-like, and she wanted to take some, so she took one and then realized, you know, it makes her just pass out.
So what was it supposed to do for her? Why was she interested in being violated while asleep?
You know, well, she at one point was, she was into me having to pass her out while we were in the middle of sex, and she'd wake up in the middle of an orgasm. And I
she
guess
liked that.
That's what kind of led her to believe that that might be good.
Okay.
And you know, I did find out that she did come from a pretty traumatic childhood, too.
Of course, of course. And you said you had anal sex with her while she was unconscious?
Yeah.
All right, now time out. Had you had sex anally with her before this?
Oh, no.
No,
Rudy!
And that's, she actually,
Rudy!
No.
What?
No. Let Chad talk. Hold on. Chad.
Yeah, so she didn't want to have anal sex.
Right, and you decided it was a good time when she could defend herself to go back door.
Well, I just figured that she would be relaxed enough that it wouldn't bother her. And
did it bother her?
Did she wake up?
Well, yeah, she did wake up later and kind of complain about it. She said her butt hurt, and I was like, oh, I don't know why.
I'm sensing mason jar. I'm sensing there's going to be a mason jar punchline here.
This is actually serious. In fact, my question is, you know, now that I'm older, I'm about 6-7 years older now, and I've been listening to your show for the last 3 or 4 years. I understand why she wanted something like that, and I really wish I wouldn't have done that.
Okay.
So I'm feeling a lot of shame about it, and I have a 2-part question. One, obviously I should feel some level of shame, but how much shame should I feel? And two, how I would get over that.
All right, Chad, listen here. I'm being serious with you right now. I did a lot of stuff about, you know, when you're right in the era of time when you were duking up your girlfriend anally when she was passed out. I did a lot of things that I was not proud of. I did a lot of things that I looked back on in my elder years and was ashamed of. And because none of those were pedophilia, rape, or murder, I learned that it comes with making mistakes as you grow, and you learn from them.
But let's be fair. You had a little bit of a pass because you were addicted.
Sure.
And so you kind of go, I was in a bad disease state.
Right.
And so those choices were all affected by that disease. I would never do that in my normal state.
I had a way of reasoning it away, but it doesn't change the fact that, like, sweetheart young ladies that I talk to in a way that I'm not proud of, or relationships with buddies that I let just go completely by the wayside. Mm. Things I've done that I was just simply not proud of.
Yeah.
You know, stealing, doing all the lies that come along with using lots of crack. But
you let it go.
You let it go. And, Chad, you realized that you were young and you made a mistake, and there was something very alluring to a 19-year-old's brain.
And by the way, saying it to another person is part of getting over the shame.
Sure.
That
it's
is one
of the
ways.
Steps,
I mean,
man.
So the fifth step in Alcoholics and, you know, 12-step program is you tell another person about your past and about your foibles and about your shame.
So, Chad, the fact that you feel shame...
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing. Right. The fact that you regret doing this is a good thing. You're older now, and you just look back on it, and you just have to shrug your shoulders and say, I was young.
I will not do that again.
And I've learned from that, and I will not do that again.
I may have contributed to re-traumatization of a trauma victim, but that's what she was seeking.
Yeah.
That's the mode that she was in at that time.
And
Chet feel good about that.
What she did was not great, but what she did was not that bad. It was a dumb mistake that really wacky 19-year-olds.
You could make a big deal out of it. You could. I mean, and
he didn't dose her without her knowing it. Yeah. She asked him to do it. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Not to sound like a stupid guy, but she asked for it.
Yeah, exactly. And
she has to be raped. She has to be anally raped. Yeah,
she had to have known she was going to be.
Yeah, she's right. You're right. She asked to be anally raped.
She asked for ass.
I mean, you know what? It depends. I understand why he would feel bad about it.
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, of
but I mean, really bad about it.
Yeah, I guess the thing that makes me feel worse.
Mason Jar.
No, I didn't go to her specific guidelines either. I went to a place where, in the past, she said she didn't want to go.
No, of course. But that's part of the setup, even. I mean, but yes, it was not a good thing.
Not a good thing. But you sound like a good
dude.
And
by the way, you may be slightly addicted too. You were taking a bunch of Ambien and things that might have affected your judgment then. I mean, the same kind of stuff.
Yeah, I was definitely going through a lot of issues. In fact, that relationship ended pretty bad with her cheating on two of my good friends at the time.
All right. So.
And I ended up going into the hospital and finding out I was bipolar. So.
All right. Okay. So, and you got that treated, and now.
Those are the priorities, dude.
Well done.
Yeah.
All right.
With that, let's hear a Hey Monday song.
Let's do it.
We'll take a break first, and we'll come back. And
okay. When we get back, we will hear How You Love Me Now from their previous album, Hold On Tight. Their new album, Beneath It All, is available on their website for pre-order, HeyMondayMusic.com. It'll be available everywhere August 17th. Like Dr. Drew said, we will hear How You Love Me Now, which is a massive smash hit on the internet. Close to 500,000 digital tracks sold. Very impressive, Mr. Jersey. Very impressive, Cassidy. They are joining us from the band Hey Monday. Like I said, we'll be back here on Loveline. No service fee. That's right. You heard me correctly. No service fee for June tickets at LiveNation.com. Your favorite summer concerts. Buy tickets now with no service fee. Go to LiveNation.com.
Somebody do something. Call a doctor.
Loveline is coming back.
All I care about is the sex. Loveline.
We're going to hear a song, right?
Yeah, the band Hey Monday is in the house. It's time for us to hear a little music. Jersey and Cassie are here from the band. Let's hear How You Love Me Now, the smash hit from their last album, Hold On Tight. Anderson, if you will, please.
Tell me how can you please? How can you breathe? Baby, tell me how you love me.
judges.
How You Love Me Now from the band Team Monday is what you just heard. Cassidy and Jersey, both very nice and attractive people, have joined us here on Loveline tonight. 1-800-LOVE-191. Song exploded. It really took off. We were talking about off the air a little bit how you can develop your career nowadays on the internet, and it's something that you guys have definitely tapped into because just tonight, just announcing that you guys are going to be on the show, Twitter and Facebook exploded. You guys have so many passionate fans out there on the internet. Was that a, you know, kind of a planned effort, or did that just something that happened by happenstance that you guys really developed that support on the internet?
I mean, we know how important it is, and
right.
and internet is such a huge part of anyone nowadays, so it's like, why not take it full advantage of it? We've made every page we needed to make, and we update every page we need to whenever we can, and you know, it just sort of ended up being like the catalyst to why we got here. So
very cool, very cool. That is Cassidy from Hey Monday. Jersey from the band is also in the house tonight. Let's get back to the phones ASAP. Luna.
Yes.
What's up, honey?
Hi. Well, at first my question was, is it possible for you to be too sexual?
Well, yeah, of course.
But,
there's such a thing as sexual addiction, of course.
Is it, well, I have a question. Is it too bad to be too sexual in a relationship?
I think I understand what you're asking, which is, can you overwhelm somebody or can you sort of push them away with that? And that's true. Guys get a little freaked out when a female partner has a lot more sexual
energy. Well, actually, it's a girl.
All right. Women are not as bad with that. But, you know, if you do think you have sexual addiction, usually that's tied to childhood sexual abuse. So if you've had that experience, then we would sort of say, okay, that's what that is. And, yes, that can create a mismatch in sexual desire, for sure. It also tends to predispose to a lot of chaos in relationships and acting out with other people.
Yeah.
There it is. Okay. So you got the trifecta. So you might want to, again, I'll refer back to the website, sash.net, the referrals for people that can help you with this problem, if you want to do something about it.
Yeah. Recently, I've been with my girlfriend for about 7 months, and lately it's been going on a lot.
Yeah, we got that. So, okay, let's get her to the website, and nothing much more we can do, my dear, than say, yes, it can be a problem. Sounds like it is a problem for you, and get some help with that, okay?
Okay.
All right.
oh, goodness. Hey, Sean.
Sean, 16.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hey.
I just say something first.
What?
This is Sean and Shelby.
What's up, Sean?
You guys know Sean?
Hi, Sean. I know Sean.
Yeah, and Shelby, it's us.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hey. Okay,
hey, man, spit it out, dude. We only got a limited amount of time.
Is Sean and Shelby your biggest fans?
Okay. Well, we're going to turn on the awkwardness a little bit.
Okay.
So my roommates, don't ask me why I have roommates, just because it's complicated.
You're 16 and you have roommates? Why do you have roommates?
Yeah.
No, go ahead. Why do you
I don't have time to tell you.
All right. You're right.
Okay, so they start having, like, sex all the time now, and I'm, like, right in the middle of them, and they're doing it really loudly. So how would you tell them, like, how would you confront them easily and not...
How old are your roommates?
I'm 16. Okay, two of them are 16 and one of them are 18.
You live with a bunch of minors?
Yeah.
And one adult?
Yeah, like, I can't explain it.
Yeah, well, never mind.
Is the adult having sex with the minors?
No.
The 18-year-old is not having sex with any of the 16-year-olds.
Statutory rape.
Oh, God.
Sean?
Ask them politely.
Yes, that it's not okay. It's it's very disrespectful. It's not okay.
Yeah, and it's gross.
Yeah, it's gross for you. And by the way, if one of them's 18, you're going to call the cops.
Yeah, you should get on that.
Not good.
Yeah. And then when you're 21, you can hide in the closet and watch, like, you know,
like
Mike
does.
Too.
Yeah. Okay, keep going.
Cassidy and Jersey from the band Hey Monday in the house tonight. Eric, what's up?
Hey, guys. So basically my problem is, my girlfriend's a virgin. I am not, and I've been with girls, and like most teenage boys, my sexual experience came from pornography.
Okay.
So we're going...
She's 17. I'm 19. We're going to Florida.
Well, end of story. Don't do it.
What was he going to do?
17, 19. I don't care.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The guy who learned how to have sex watching porno has a 17-year-old girlfriend. Yeah. End. Speaking of the end, it is the end of Loveline. Thank you so much.
Anderson,
Jersey, Cassie, Van Hey Monday. Thank you so much. Thank you to Andrew
Thanks
W.K.
Thanks, guys.
Andrew Zed.
Wrap us down.
Make it go.
Make it go away. 18 calls, total 12 guys, 6 girls in the split shift love line that we had tonight. We started off with Andrew W.K., of course, and girlfriend left me for a guy in my band. That's always a bad sign. I can't even tell my writing, guys. There was a ton of S that went on tonight. It was a really crazy night. Ann's birthday. Happy birthday, Ann.
Face-to-face tomorrow.
Face-to-face tomorrow. I love you guys. Thank you for coming in. Don't we all love these guys? You guys
yes,
can come back.
Very nice.
Cassidy,
very
nice. Thank you
so
much.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank
Didn't
you so
much.
Didn't mean to dip you with just 1 hour. You're welcome back anytime.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks, guys.
I mean, I'm available tomorrow.
That didn't even feel like an hour.
Do you have something finished up with, Anderson?
I'm going to go get your lyrics tattooed all over my body.
Well done.
Yeah!
Spell them right. Correctly.
Yay.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on Loveline are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. Loveline is produced by Ann Engel, engineered by Anderson Cowan. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One.
End of message.
The end of a perfect evening.
Something tells me the show's over.
The end of a perfect evening.
I've always admired your show.
Have you ever considered hosting your own talk show?
They have a radio show.
Something tells me the show's over.